Today's topic, get to know about wild VDC4 plants. What are they, these C4 plants? Well, we will talk about the differences between C3, C4 and camp plants and why everyone is talking about them, especially the C4. We'll get there, but first let me welcome you. Hi there, this is Nina and you are tuning in to the Audible Weed Walk episode number 46. This period of the year is quite interesting. The rest of India starts to get their monsoon splash and the conversation starts on what to eat and what not to eat in the rainy season. But in Tamil Nadu, we are on special monsoon track, that is, northeast monsoon. For us, the major rainy months are October to December. Last time, it went well into January and some even in February before the rain stopped. This year, the summer has been mild until now, but still, we are squarely in summer. So I thought, why not highlight some of the wild, weedy, wonderful, nutritious plants that are growing around us now, in the summer months. Recently, I had prepared one of the wild, weedy greens, just like one would prepare a rustic sarso ka saag, which is the iconic preparation of mustard green from Punjab. However, the greens I had prepared belongs to Potulaca family. Potulaca is purslane. Many of you are very familiar with it. However, this particular variety is very tiny. Each leaf is only a few millimeters and they form a maroonish green carpet hugging the ground where they grow. Any guesses? It is called Potulaca quadrifida or chicken wheat spinach. It is known as Siru Pasalai Kirei or Tarai Pasalai in Tamil Nadu, Kate Chaval in Hindi, Goni Sopu in Kannada, Godu Pavili Kura in Telugu, Neela Kirei in Malayalam, Ranghol in Marathi, Dul Dulia in Odia, and Lonika in Sanskrit. It grows across India, across the tropical world, and hot and dry areas. It is great for stabilizing sandy soil. My earliest memory of this was it was carefully weeded out but not thrown by our old gardener who hailed from Odisha, who taught me that it could be munched upon raw and tasted mildly sour. This I really liked. Turned out, Potulaca quadrifida is a C4 plant. Memories rush back. I was and am familiar with the C3 and C4 species when planting multi-species prairie regeneration for mine reclaimed land in Ohio, where I was working some years back. So what are they? These C3, C4 camp plants sound something that is generated in the lab. But no, only the understanding and categorization perhaps. It turns out that plants, like crops that are cultivated, grasses, I had mentioned the prairie grasses, for example, the weeds can be divided into three main categories, C3, C4 and CAM, based on the way they use carbon dioxide. You will get to hear more about this as time passes, as we are forced to live with the effects of climate change and try to adapt the best we can. The difference between these three categories are complicated but interesting. It explains why a certain plant, say chicken wheat spinach, prefer warm weathers and why scientists are trying to find a way to make some of the C3 plants like rice into C4. The true why really baffles me, but we'll come to that. But have you wondered how the plants circulate the nutrients and water they suck via their roots? Well, they have a circulation system like we have a blood circulation system in our body. The plants do this through the tiny pores that exist in the leaves called stomata. Through these pores, they allow gas exchange. The stomata also allow moisture to exist, and this is called transpiration. The water vapor evaporates through the stomata at the top of the leaves, pulling more water up through the plant, and this circulation keeps fueling. Neat, isn't it? What is the purpose of doing this? Well, simply speaking, to convert carbon dioxide to glucose. This needs carbon from the atmosphere to be fixed in organic molecule. To do this, another protein acts as a catalyst. This protein is called Rubisco. This is the most abundant protein on Earth. It is the source of energy for all those who are not primary producers, like those who cannot photosynthesize themselves. So all herbivores, carnivores, omnivores, frugivores, locavores, whatever you call yourself, you are part of it. This Rubisco aims to fix carbon, but can fix oxygen molecules as well. This fixing of oxygen is called photorespiration. If you are an efficient plant, you want to reduce your photorespiration or fixing oxygen so that you can increase your ability to fix carbon. C3 plants have no special feature to reduce photorespiration. Most plants of this category, they are basically simple plants which actually does the regular photosynthesis as the as the carbon in the atmosphere increases, their ability to photosynthesize also increase. You will think it's a good thing, right? Well, we'll come to that. Which are the plants which belongs to this category? This includes wheat, rice, oats, cotton, trees like eucalyptus, sunflower, soybean, beetroots, potatoes, tomatoes, all these. C4 plants have a technique to minimize photorespiration or oxygen fixing by separating the initial carbon fixing and carbon to glucose conversion in two separate places. This, as you can imagine, is already a more complicated process and hence requires more energy to do it. Same principle, you know, like air conditioning requires more energy than heating, because the latter is a simpler, the heating, which is a simpler process. Just like that, because it involves a process to be separated and there is an additional process of, you know, closing and opening, I'll talk about it later, it is more efficient but much more complex system and hence require more energy. CAM plants, CAM is actually an acronym for a longer name. CAM plants minimizes photorespiration and save water by separating these two steps by time, day and night. Majority of the CAM plants are either epiphytes like orchids or bromeliads or succulents and cactus, etc. So what are the climate implications? It is projected by 2050 the atmospheric carbon will double. So the C3 plants, with their simple, non-complicated strategies, will be able to fix more carbon and grow and flourish. So why are we even talking about the C4 plants? Well, that's because C3 plants, in C3 plants, the rate of photorespiration, that is fixing oxygen, and therefore, you know, lower fixing of carbon dioxide, vary quite a lot depending on the temperature. If the temperature rises, which is one of the effects of the climate change, the phototranspiration will increase, which is oxygen fixing will increase and not necessarily carbon fixing. So they will not be able to reap the benefit of the high level of carbon in the atmosphere. There comes C4 plants to rescue. These plants not only separates the function of the initial carbon fixing and carbon to glucose cycle by space, it also does something to tackle the rising temperature and the loss of moisture that can stress a plant. It simply shuts the stomata. Remember that opening that allows the gas and moisture exchange? By shutting the stomata, it reduces the stress due to loss of moisture, but it also stops further gas exchange. But because they do their carbon fixing and energy generation in two separate places, they are still able to operate using fixing carbon to produce energy. What are the implications of these findings in, say, for our farms, food forest, permaculture plots? The conclusion is that same as we had in our project in Ohio. Diversity is the strength. Put in diverse crops or plants. This time consciously put in a mix of both C3 and C4, especially if you're in a cooler climate, since the typical C3 plant may not do well with increasing temperature. Now, I read somewhere that the researchers in UK, they are taking a lead in genetically converting rice, which is a C3 plant, to C4 for the sake of the larger population of the world who eats rice. Well, just looking at India alone, I can say, just like the research on golden rice, which is lacing the rice with vitamin A, it has the intrigue of science, but little use. India alone, and I'm sure the subcontinent as a whole, may be holding many more species of indigenous varieties of rice. India has about 700 plus. There are varieties which are naturally resistant to salt, needs less water, some needs no standing water at all. This can easily be used instead of getting into complicated genetic engineering to convert certain rice from C3 to C4. The more prudent way will be to decentralize food, even in public distribution system, to adapt to more nutritious, local, adaptable varieties and species. So, what would be an alternative grain if heat-resistant rice cannot be grown everywhere? By the way, did you notice that I did not give an example of the C4 plants before? Totally forgot. Plants that grow in tropical and warm temperate areas with high temperature, like with intense light and dry, they host more C4 plants. The last clause, which is dry, is why not all tropical plants are C4. C4 plants includes all millets. Yep, cholam, sorghum, foxtail millet, which is thinai, varagu or kodo millets, all belong to C4. So, it can be very easily the alternative grains. Along with that, we have corn, sugarcane, pineapple, and many other plants. Many of the wild, weedy, uncultivated or nurtured greens that are very nutritious, almost all in my edible weed book and those which are supposed to get into the future books, belong to the C4. You name it, Amaranthaceae, all the amaranths and the Punnangani cousins. Punarnabha or Mukaritikire, which is Boerhaavia species. Then Chenopodium album, lamb's quarter. It's called Bathua in Hindi and Chakravartikire in Tamil. And of course, Potulaca or purslane, where our chicken wheat spinach belong to. So that's where we started our discussion, right? Hope you had some good ideas about C3 and C4, as they will show up more in the discussions and news. Now, we have one more reason to set our attention to the wild, local and weedy foraged foods wherever we live, temperate or tropical region. With that thought, I'll end today and I'll see you next time. Stay well and stay safe.